This is Purple Radio on demand.
Welcome to Sports Feed, your twice weekly podcast where we discuss all things sport in the Northeast. My name is Sanjay Suri and I am joined by Joel Adkins. From university matches to professional competitions, we've got you covered with all the news, insight and analysis you need. Today we'll be joined by women's football's Megan Hughes to dissect their 2-0 win against Nottingham, which keeps them top before going through men's lacrosse's 13-8 victory, which keeps them well in the title race. Let's get into it. So Megan, nice for you to join us on the podcast and a huge win for your team on Wednesday.
Absolutely. It was a huge result for us both, for the team mentally, obviously for the points on the league table as well. Nottingham are current reigning champions, so we knew going into it, it'd be a huge fixture. And obviously it was our charity match as well. So we had a lot on the line, but we had beat them already 2-0 at their place before. So we had quite a lot of confidence going into the match. And what with the crowd behind us, it was great. We brought home the win.
Yeah, no, it's good to see you bounce back from your loss the previous week. Did that almost inspire you to put in a big performance?
Yeah, definitely. I think our performance against Loughborough last week was a bit of a low point for us in the season. We had a lot to prove following the defeat of last week, our first defeat of the season. But we knew we had so much more left in us. Like I said, we put in a lot of hard work at training. We knew it was our charity match. We had a lot of faces come down, a lot of support from the crowd. And we just wanted to put the effort in to make it worth it for them and to show them what we're made of, really, as a team.
Yeah, so a 2-0 win, goals from Faye Dale and Vicky Neufein. It was quite comfortable, though. I thought your game management, especially in the second half, you're really able to control the match quite well. You obviously doing that from centre-back, really leading by example. Were you a bit surprised that Nottingham almost looked a bit toothless in attack, especially once they went behind?
I think us scoring early on into the match in the first half definitely rattled them a little bit. But like you said, it was very much a game that was won on game management. Of course, we had two absolute screamers from Faye and Vicky, which helped us over the line. But for sure, we had to really manage the game and settle into the game and just not let the nerves and the occasion get on top of us. We know that Nottingham have got big attacking threats. We know that they're a football playing team. They especially like to play out from the back. We'd done some analysis in the week before the match, so we kind of knew what to expect in terms of that. But of course, we had to manage the game ourselves, play the game we wanted to play. We're at our place as well, so that's a huge home advantage, and we just needed to take all of that into account. I think that's something we really excelled on Wednesday, our game management, going 2-0 up, but knowing how to keep that lead and to keep them out of our half, essentially. And I think that's something we did really well in succeeding in.
Yeah, and in terms of the rest of the season, how are you feeling about pushing for the title?
Well, the win on Wednesday was huge, obviously. We're now sitting top of the league and we've got one match left of the season. So it's in our hands, really. We've got our final game of the season against Northumbria. So, of course, a huge northeast derby to finish off the league. Like I said, it's in our hands. We're the ones who are in total control here. We've put in the performances all season. We've beaten every team. Almost every team in this league now. And I think, you know, if we just go into the match sensibly with our heads on, we can come away with the win and ultimately come away with the league title.
I'm going to go for a very niche reference here for our listeners and almost compare your season format and the season format for a lot of DU sports to the Formula 2 season calendar, where you have the bulk of your fixtures in the first term, big break as you all go home for Christmas before the finale in January. Do you find it a bit strange that you've got this format where you've got to wait a long, long time before the final match? Would you much rather play that match at the end of term and then just focus on the cup? How does it affect your preparedness for the match and coming into it after such a big break between matches?
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a strange format. Obviously, you want to keep momentum up every week. And what with having such a big break over Christmas and then still a 2-week break once we're back for second term as well before playing our final league match. It will be a challenge to make sure we keep up our fitness over the Christmas break, make sure we come back together as a team. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say that the format is my favourite thing in the world, but we've just got to work with what we've got. It's up to us to put the hard work in, especially over the Christmas holidays, keep our fitness up and ultimately come back in second term ready and stronger than ever. Because, of course, like you said, once the league's over, we've got to turn our attention to the cup. So, you know, the hard work never stops, even if the format's a bit strange. We know our focus, we know our goal, so we'll just keep going with that.
And in terms of the squad this year, how do you feel the freshers, particularly like the new people coming in, have adapted?
Our freshers have been unreal. We've got some unbelievable quality skill that have come in through the freshers, especially the likes of Nia Doody. She was one of my players of the matches on Wednesday, playing up top, chipping their 6 foot centre backs, standing at 5'3" herself. But yeah, I mean, all of the freshers that we've had come in have been unreal. They've added so much depth, so much quality to the team. And it makes such a big difference when we're playing a match, you know, knowing that we've got that quality, both on the pitch, on the bench. It adds such a element to team morale, to the quality in general. And yeah, I mean, we're a better team with them in it for sure.
The match could have gone very differently on Wednesday because Nottingham had a huge chance early on, forcing a fantastic save by Tatiana Saunders, who is a bit of a favourite on this podcast because she also plays for Durham Women FC. How key has it been to have a player in your team and in your squad who plays at such a high level? We saw her experience in the match, her, how do we put it, her game management in the second half, taking her time with goal kicks and gathering the ball. How important is that for helping you as a team grow?
It's unbelievable. I mean, Tat's in and as herself, she's an absolute legend, the team lover, as a person on the pitch, off the pitch. She brings so much leadership, so much quality to the team. Her game management was second to none on Wednesday, like you said. And not just her quality as a keeper, but her communication as well on the pitch. I know she knows, she can see the game like no other person can, really. And yeah, no doubt we'd be in a worse place this season if we didn't have Tats. We love her. She's an unbelievable keeper. And like you said, her save early on into the first half kept us in the game. I think it really gave us a boost as well. And I know for me personally, playing as a centre-back, I feel more confident when I've got her on the pitch behind me. So yeah, we love Tats. Love you, Tats.
Yeah, and obviously next season, you know, you've had such a great year this year, whether you obviously go on to win the league or not. Do you feel like you can kick on from that again and, you know, follow that up again with another great season?
I hope so. I mean, obviously, one of the things with Bucks sports in general is the teams do change quite a lot from year to year. Obviously, what with it being a university-based league, so you see new faces and old faces come and go. But I mean, the setup for football here at Durham in general, the culture that we have here in football is unbelievable. I think it's no coincidence that we attract some of the best quality footballing-wise from across the UK and overseas. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's an interesting one. It changes from season to season. But I have no doubt that this season and going forwards, we're always going to have a strong quality side because people want to come to Durham for a reason. They want to come to Durham because we know we play good sports, we play high quality sports, and we're always going to have teams that are going to, you know, challenge for these titles.
Yeah, you mentioned that you are able to attract quality players from abroad, such as Tatiana Saunders. It's a bit different with her, but Sophie Senti is here on a postgraduate course from America as well. How does the recruitment work then for almost scouting out talent where it's especially difficult to do when they're on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean?
Obviously, it comes down to the level and quality of football we're playing. It's a long way to come, obviously, from America to little old Durham. But we love our postgrads in the team. Tats, Erin Brown, Sophie Senti, they're unbelievable footballers, unbelievable girls. And yeah, I mean, they come for the quality of football, and I think we've shown this season why people are so attracted to Durham. Across all sports, I think in Durham the level is so high, it really pushes you. You play against some of the best teams in the country. You know, I don't see why you wouldn't want to put yourself at that level. But yeah, I mean, our postgrads in the team are our little Americans. We love them, and they're unbelievable footballers and even better girls. So yeah, I can see why they were tempted to come to Durham.
Do they struggle to settle in a bit? Because obviously the English culture of university is very different, especially by way of socials. How easily do they settle in?
I think for sure there's some culture shocks, definitely at the start. Definitely a few terms that we've had to explain to the girls that we've been using in and around training and whatnot that they've kind of had to come to grips with. And yeah, I mean, like you said, the university setup in the UK is very, very different to that of America. But, you know, they fit in so well. They're lovely girls, so it would be hard for them not to, really. And yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for them is calling it football rather than soccer. That's something we've drilled into them quite early on from the start. But no, I mean, obviously, moving countries, going overseas, it's always going to be a big change. But the girls are settled in so well. They're great girls. And yeah, you know, they bring their quality, they bring their chat to every training, every match. So yeah, we love them for it.
Women's football in America seems to be a few years ahead of the UK, and you can see that by the success that the national team had 10, 15 years ago and continue to have. They're going through a bit of a difficult phase now. But did you notice that when you compare the English players to the American players in your team? Do they have different playing styles, or can you tell that they've had a different training setup, perhaps a bit more developed than you and your English teammates had when you were growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's no secret that the football setup, especially for women in America, is still a few years ahead of that of the UK. I think over there, they literally eat, breathe and sleep football. And especially when you go to university to do football, you know, it's almost if football's a priority over the degree. But yeah, I mean, they are so fit physically. Their whole life revolves around football. And you can tell that. I mean, the minute they turned up to the first training, they were absolutely class. I think a few girls were still feeling the after effects of summer when we came back for pre-season, but these girls were on it. They were ready to go from the outset. But yeah, I mean, there's still a difference for sure. But we're catching up with them slowly but surely, I reckon. And yeah, I mean, the programme we've got on here at Durham, the coaching setup, the quality of the teams, the facilities we've got here at MC, it's definitely up there with some of the best we've got in the UK. And, you know, we just want to keep it progressing, keep it as high a level as possible. And yeah, hopefully one day we'll catch up with the Yanks.
Should you beat Northumbria next term, you will finish top of the league phase. And that will not only be... that will not only give you some bragging rights, but it'll also give you the best possible draw when it comes to the knockout part of the year. How much confidence would that give you to push on and make sure you do go all the way this time in the knockout phase? I think you got knocked out in the semi-finals last year.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you reckon you've changed over the year to make sure that you can go further this year?
Yeah, it's a tricky one because we've made the semis the last 2 years running of the cup now. So I think we're a bit sick of being so stagnant in that phase. Of course, playing Northumbria in our last league game of the season, there's the league title on the line, but it's even bigger than the fact that it's Polly. It's our biggest rival. No one likes Polly. But yeah, I mean, of course, we want to push for that league title. We want to beat our local rival. But yeah, ultimately, our focus this season is the cup. We want to go far in the cup. We want to get past that semi-stage that we've been knocked out at for the past 2 years running. So, I mean, you know, obviously beating Polly would be great, give us the league title, but I think it would give us such a push, such a confidence boost going into the cup. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much on the line, personal rivalries, geographical rivalries, and for what it would mean for us as a team, as a league in the cup. So, yeah, it's certainly a big match, but, you know, we're all raring. We love it. We love the competition. We love a derby. So we're totally up for it.
Is winning the league not much to celebrate about then?
No, of course, winning the league is an achievement in its own right, but our focus, we've said since the start of the season, is the cup this year. Like I said, we've been knocked out the past 2 years running in the semis. We've got the quality. We know we can push on in the cup. We just have to believe in ourselves and our setup as a team. And I really think this year we've got it. I mean, from the quality to the girls to the coaching, it's been unreal since the outset. And I think that's why we're doing so well in the league. Of course, winning the league would give us a big push, and we're keen to win our final match and win that title overall. But, you know, realistically, we're looking to get that league, the cup title this year, and really show what Durham's about.
Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast,
Meg. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, always a pleasure to have you. And once again, congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
So moving on now to talk about men's lacrosse's huge 13-8 win against Nottingham. One of their rivals really at the top, which just about keeps them in with the shout of winning the title. But just like with football, it's more important getting that strong league position, isn't it, to get the best possible draw in the cup draw?
Mm-hmm, 100%. And obviously a massive win yesterday for them, which will be a massive boost.
Yeah, no, it really will be. And they're just star performances all over the pitch. Fraser Howard in the end took player of the match, just completely dominating the midfield, really, and taking control of it. But a bit of a shout out to AJ Adams, who had one of the best performances in years in goal, apparently. How key is it to really lead right from the back with a strong goalkeeping performance in lacrosse?
Well, massive, because obviously, you know, your goalkeeper can be someone who keeps you in games and is almost that unsung hero, and someone who you might not always notice at the time, but if they're not there, you definitely notice them, if you see what I mean. So Yeah, I think having a competent goalkeeper who can make those crucial saves, you know, at times in the game where perhaps things are more level, is ultimately what gives you that edge.
Yeah, so they are 4 points off top right now with just 2 matches to go, but they are still yet to play top of the table, Nottingham Trent. However, with 4 wins on the bounce, it is out of their control to finish top, but they are on such a good run of form. How key is it to carry this run of form into next term, get that win against Nottingham Trent, hopefully, and basically see how far they can finish up and just continue the momentum in the cup?
Yeah, massive. I mean, they probably have to win every game and get, you say,
Two
games left, sorry. Yeah, 6 points needed for sure. And obviously, it is 4 points, which is a difficult task. But as you were saying, if they beat Nottingham Trent, then that's a point, you know. I don't know if that's their final game or not. But, you know, hopefully Nottingham Trent drop points before that and then they can go and take full advantage and beat them in that final game and potentially win the league.
Yeah, either way, even if they do beat Nottingham Trent, it is not enough to win the league. It would be a massive psychological blow, and there's a very good chance that they would end up facing Trent in the tournament phase of the year. So winning that match will be key, won't it? Not just for league position, but for bragging rights and to have that mental edge should they face each other again.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, obviously, as you were just saying, it might not help directly with the league, but in terms of the cup, you definitely want a more favourable draw. And if, you know, that means beating Nottingham Trent, I'm sure that will definitely give them an incentive.
Either way, Mesut Cross really flying there, and a lot of sports in Durham are finding form at the right time, really. And that concludes this episode of Sports Feed. Be sure to follow Purple Radio Sport on Instagram to stay updated, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.